Okay, so let's begin. Let's pick up with the new Limon here. Okay, so let's just get on the same proverbial page. We saw the Mishnah on Chaf Vav Amin Aleph present the general rule that Adam Muad La'olam. We're talking about damages, we're talking about courts, we're talking about a person who commits some form of hezek, some form of damage, and the rule of thumb is that Adam Muad La'olam. What does that mean? What does it mean, Adam Muad La'olam? It means he's always what? He's always going to be chayav. Doesn't matter if he's had a history of damaging, doesn't matter if he's been warned. The person, the Mishnah says, is always on notice. You got to be careful how you act in society, and when you cause damage, you got to pay for the damage that you created.
But the Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah doesn't say it's fine. It just says...
Well, right. That's...
Then the show gave them amazing.
Muad, the implication is if we would have started from the beginning of the South, we would have had a better appreciation of Muad. But, for example, we know that there's a difference between a Shor Tam and a Shor Muad. Shor Tam gets another couple of chances before he gets dealt with harshly. Shor Muad, that's it. No more chances. Same thing with the person. Oh, the Muad La'olam, he's automatically culpable. And the Mishnah says, there's a problem. And the Mishnah says that since Adam Muad La'olam, that's the case being b'shogeg, being b'mezed, and perhaps more interestingly, whether he's awake or whether he's sleeping. The person causes damages while he's yashen, not to be confused with yashan. Right? What does yashan mean? Yashan is old. Yashen is sleeping. Right? In the Some Masechtas we have Tosos Yashanim, not Tosos Yashanim. Tosos Yashanim would mean they're sleeping. Right? Tosos Yashanim means the old Tosos. Over here, it's actually Yashen. So, Bain air is awake, Yashen is sleeping. In all those cases, an individual is going to be chayav. Then the Mishnah says, Sima es ein chaver, if a person would blind the eye of his fellow, b'shiber es hakelim, or breaks someone else's property, someone else's chattel, what's the rule? Mishalim nezek shalim. Be chayav in all those cases. That's a direct result of the fact that a person is muad la'olam. So rule of thumb, person damages, he's always chayav. Okay, so we could stop here. Except that when we turn to Chav Zayin, there seems to be exceptions to this rule. Yeah, question? Daniel Simon's asking a good question. He's saying, if the Mishnah already tells us that Adam Mazik is chayav b'im shogi b'im amazed, what's the chiddush of Rashi when Rashi says that simas ein chavero, that simas ein chavero, simas ein chavero, you're chayiv even b'shogeg. That should be pasha. Right, it could be, and again we'll have to investigate this a little further, it could be that Rashi's saying that maybe simas ein chavero is a different type of hezek. A different type of hezek. Maybe you'd think that blinding is like an intent specific crime. I don't know, it's hard. I don't know. No, it's not much in that way. Okay, Tzurchin. That's a good question. I have to see what the Rishonim, if the Rishonim deal with it. Or, you know, in this case, maybe it wouldn't be Rishonim, it would be Achronim explaining Rashi. But it is a good, very good question. Let's turn to Chav Zayin for the moment. And on Chav Zayin, Amud Aleph, after Sukkot, probably we're going to be moving over to this parak, to HaMeniach. Let's take a look at the beginning of the mission here. HaMeniach Esakad Birshus HaRabim. What's the case?
Leaves a vessel.
You put something out. You put a pitcher out in Rishus HaRabim. Gave the case before you're unloading your trunk. You're unloading your trunk, and instead of bringing things directly into your house, you have a lot of heavy things. So you bring some stuff inside, but you take some stuff and you put it down on the street because you can't carry everything at once. Instead of leaving it in your trunk, you left it out on the street. That's Rishus HaRabim. Uba acher v'niska. What happened? Someone's walking by, minding his own business, and he stumbles on your vase, on your pitcher. V'shavra. What happens to the pitcher? It's broken. So we have a case where a person caused damage to property. what would you think the consequence should be, the result should be, based on the previous Mishnah?
Should be
chayev. Adam hamazik. Right? You blind someone, even b'shogeg. You chayev. You shover kelim, or you mazik kelim. What's the lashon of the Mishnah back there? Yeah, shiber asa kelim. You're chayev. All of a sudden, the Mishnah says, here, no, you're potter. So we have what appears to be a stira. We have what appears to be a contradiction. You tell me rule of thumb is Adam Hamazik, is Adam Mu'ud Olam, and now you tell me, in this case, the person comes along and is niskal, he's potter. Why? That's something that we have to address. V'im huzak ba'bal ha'chavis chayev b'nisko. So not only is the one who broke it potter, but if the one who tripped on it became injured by it, let's say not only did I trip on it and break it, but I tripped on it and then I landed on the broken remains, fell on the shards, and I got hurt, who's chayev? The Baal HaChavis is chayev to compensate me for my injuries. Why? Well, I'm Adam HaMazik. I'm chayev. Right? Okay.
One sense and still be obligated, still receive,
compensation.
Compensation. Why should it necessarily be contradictory?
That's not the contradiction. The contradiction is, right.
If I'm saying, question would be, well, how is it?
Here, it's right. It's fully the responsibility of the Baal. We see the Baal is responsible for having left it there. Now I'm putter. And not only that, he's responsible for damages.
That's right.
Okay. So let's take a look at Tosos. Tosos on Chav Zayin Amin Beis. Chav Zayin Amin Beis, V'Shmuel Omar. V'Shmuel Omar. Did everyone get a chance to look at this Tosos?
Not much of it.
Not much of it? Okay, so we'll go through it together. And for the next day or two, this Tosos is going to be a main focal point in explaining why there are exceptions, or how we account for the exceptions. What we want to understand is, when is it, basically, that we say that Lagabi Adam Hamazik, that Adam Mu'ud Olam. Right, we're going to establish a principle. For the next blot, the Gemara is going to be discussing this case, or this rule of an Adam who damages as being Mu'ud Olam. But right away, we're confronted with exceptions. So Tosus is aware that this seems to be problematic and alerts us to the fact that there are other similar cases throughout Bava Kamma where we see a violation or seemingly a violation of the principle of Adam Mu'ud La'olam. And then he's going to tell us that Adam Mu'ud La'olam doesn't hold true in every case. The Ramban has a different approach to the same question. So ultimately what we're trying to do is to understand the Ramban, understand Tosos, and then perhaps the machlokas between them. Then there's a third shita that we'll have to try to fit in either in the first camp or the second camp, or possibly put in its own category. I don't know if anyone got that far in the Ma'amar Komos. So if not today, then hopefully by the end of the week we'll get that all out on the table. So who's volunteering to read this Tosos? Dr. J, thank you. Zach, you have the place? Chav Zayin Amud Beis. You have it?
Yeah.
Ushmul Amar.
Ushmul Amar.
Can he see us? Okay, so let's take it slow. So right away, Tosafot says, you know what? You're going to be bothered by something. What's the matter? You're going to be bothered by something, because if you look at Chavtes, you'll see discussion over there regarding the stumbler, the tripper. Well, what brought about, the Gemara wants to know of it. What's the matter?
The Gemara, I
don't mean in the 60s sense, just not tripping, just tripped on something that was in his way. So the Gemara over there gets into discussion. Well, how responsible was he? Right? Was he posheya or not? Kigon shenisko me'atzmo. In other words, what did he trip on? The Gemara on Chavtes gets into the discussion. What did he trip on? Does he have wobbly knees? Is that why he tripped? Does he have some type of walking issue? Did he trip on his foot? Yeah, me'atzmo means on his own, without any help. No, nothing caused him to trip. Tripped on his own feet. Tripped on his own shoelace. That's nisko me'atzmo. It's no one else's fault that he tripped.
But why is that a problem?
Oh, so we'll give. What's 1 second? Well, let's give him 1 second just to give out the case, to flesh out the case. Iniska poshehu, olo kigon shiniska meyatzmo, v'lo niska b'shem davar. But over there, we distinguish. We say, oh, well, 1 second. Not every guy who trips is treated the same way, right? Not every person who trips is treated the same way. Is there an element of posheya? Is there not an element of posheya? But over here, shiniska machmas michshol. So over here, we don't make any chilukim. We don't say, well, is there pshia, is it not pshia? No, because here it's totally someone else's fault. The Gemara is saying here he tripped on something else. Why did he trip on something else? I mean, the Mishnah, rather. Why did he trip on something else? He tripped on something else because someone stuck something in the Rishus HaRabim, and it was one of two cases where he was not responsible for navigating around this thing, either because he couldn't, the Gemara said, right? Talk about a case where a guy takes a vase and he fills up the whole Rosh Hashanah, or he takes many vases and he fills up the Rosh Hashanah, he can't navigate around them, or it's just dark. Shmuel's case was it was dark. So there was nothing that I could have done to safely navigate around it. How come the Mishnah or the subsequent Gemara doesn't get into this distinction as to whether or not I was Poshea? So Tosa says, well, because over here we're talking about a different type of Metzias. We're talking about where I tripped on something else. I tripped on something else and I was not responsible to liyune v'lo niska b'shem davar avahach niska machmas michshol. But over here, where I tripped on something else, michshol is a stumbling block, and v'lo ibay liyune onesu. This is called ones. He's distinguishing between a potential question of pshia and an absolute case of ones. He's saying this case, our case, is a case of onus. The case of onus where you couldn't avoid it. Aminech kad b'shus harabim, and I trip on it, that's onus. So he's distinguishing onus from pshia. Two different worlds. And there's a difference between pshia and onus. Now that you know that, you're going to be bothered by something. What are you going to be bothered by? No, our he's saying our Mishnah, this Mishnah now. When I mean our Mishnah, I mean the Mishnah Chav Zayin. What does our Mishnah say? What does this Mishnah say? He's Potter. Right? Why? Tells us, oh, because in my case is where it's on us. He didn't have any reason to watch. He's on us. And that's why he's Potter. But we have a rule. The rule is Adamud Olam. Bein b'mezid, bein b'shogate. Right? That's the question. Setting it up, showing there's a difference between pshia and anus. Well, the Mishnah Chavav says shogeg and mezid, bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, bein air, bein yashen. Oh, well, let's see. Now, what's shogeg? Shogeg is totally by accident. What's anus? Beyond your control. No, pshia is negligence. Shogeg is accident. Well, that's now the question is. What level of onus is shogeg? That's what Tosa is going to get into now. That's Tosa's chiddush. That's his chiddush. That's when how he resolves the problem.
Shogeg in general is
shogeg means accidental. And mezid is on purpose. What's that?
Onus
is
same word onus, no?
Yeah. And onus is someone who does something beyond his control. It wasn't his fault. Yeah, involuntary.
Forced
in some cases. Like a woman who's raped is called an anusa.
Right.
I'm sorry, Zach, you had a question?
Yes, if the pots like...
Alright. So let's work our way through Tosos and we'll try to come back to some of these questions once we can lay out the groundwork. Someone reading? Dr. J, you still with us?
Yeah.
Alright. The Afagav. Right, so even though previously, you see he's understanding the Mishnah over there, Mezid and Shogeg, to be basically honest. So even though previously we said it by Adam Hamazek, person is chayev, even by Onos, right? Over here we're saying, oh no, Onos, he's Potter. That's a problem. That's a problem. Everyone follow? Mm-hmm. This is the first question, the first attack, the first time, for our purposes, that we're calling our rule into question. The Mishnah over here. The Mishnah is saying, you trip on the guy's vase and you break it. If it's honest, you pot there. Well, what a second. You told me Shogeg is Chayev. So what's the resolution to that problem? Marbina Onos Kirotzon Ba'odam Hamazik. The Gemara, we haven't seen it yet, but the Gemara in Chavav and Beis tells you how I know that Onos and Rotzon are treated the same way, meaning purpose and not on purpose, by accident and on purpose. Learned that from the Pasuk of Petza Tachas Petza. So, why is that? Why is Onos Kirotzon as far as Chavav and Beis is concerned, but not over here? So, the answer is Tosfos. Dr. J? Go ahead. Ones Gomor.
Ones Gomor.
Ones Gomor. Lo Rabbi Rachmana. The Torah doesn't include in that Reboy, in the limit from the Pasuk, we don't include Ones Gomor.
What's the difference between Ones and Ones Gomor?
Good question.
So he's saying our case here is mentioning the case of Ones Gomor.
Yeah.
In the case of Shmuel, we're not seeing anything.
That's right. That's right. The, why is it that you put there over here because you're Ones? And yet over there by Shogeg Yechayev, because we have to distinguish between different types of onus. You have to make a distinction between onus gomor and non-onus gomor.
Dark and light.
So where it was totally dark, that's unavoidable. What could you have done? That's onus gomor. Where it's all filling up the Rishos HaRabim, or the Rishos HaRabim is entirely filled up, it's virtually impossible. Onus gomor. Case in our Mishnah, now I'm talking about Mishnah Chavav, that apparently is Tomei case, according to Tosos anyway, that's not Onus Gomor. Again, the Ramban's going to have a different approach to this question. But as far as Tosos is concerned, that's the reason why these two Mishnai seem to be at odds. They're talking about two different Metzias. One is talking about Onus Gomor, and one's talking about some type of Onus that's not Onus Gomor. Now Tosos fleshes this out and explains a little bit more about the two types of Onus.
What's every Rachmanim?
Includes, the Torah includes. Like a Reboy. Rachman is a reference to the Torah. Right?
Yeah.
Torah is Rachman. Okay. Let's see another case that proves this. The Hobby Yerushalmi. This is an important rule, this case. This case that's cited here by Tosos from the Yerushalmi is going to be discussed by a number of the Yerushalmi. Go ahead.
The Hobby Yerushalmi. I think I say
Sheyashin Rishon. Leishen. What's the case?
One man lies down to sleep.
One person lies down to sleep.
And he clears an area around.
Right.
Second one comes along after the first one has fallen asleep.
Exactly.
He lies down there, and the first one turns over in his sleep and
injures him.
Injures him.
Either injures him or breaks his property. If I go to sleep where I know I've done everything I can to make sure I'm not going to break anything or hurt anyone, and I go to sleep, that's it. All I've done everything that you could ask of me. Now someone else came while I was sleeping and put his pitcher next to me, or his laptop. You know, in today's setting, it wouldn't be a pitcher anymore, it'd be glasses or a laptop or something else that's fragile, and now I broke it, but I had no way of knowing it was there because I was asleep. Then what? Then I'm pater, according to the Yerushalmi. If it's there when I go to sleep and I break into my sleep, I'm chayav for that. Why? Adamul olam. You should know that man has a propensity to damage. You're on notice. Move away. Don't sleep near the glasses. Right? Don't sleep near the laptop. Don't sleep near the iPod. You know that it's likely you're going to break it. In which case?
In the case where you laid everything out, because you still have.
That's Tosfos Chiddush though. It's only Adam Muad La'olam B'Shogeg when it's not Onus Gomor. Onus Gomor, we don't say Adam Muad La'olam. We have to explain why that is. We have to explain how this rule works. But right now we're saying, according to Tosfos, there's a distinction. between different types of accidental damages. I only apply this rule, meaning I only invoke the rule, I only say you're chayev for accidental damages when it's those types of damages that were of the accidental type that were somewhat avoidable. Not onus gomer.
So the person goes to sleep but leaves out glasses next to him.
Your glasses. You put your glasses. I see your glasses.
I'm going
to
sleep when I put my glasses. No, I'm going to sleep.
Your own glasses?
Yeah, my own glasses.
Well, you're not going to be chayev for that. That's your own.
No, but if the guy. The guy now sits on my glasses. I mean, I should have put there in the first.
Oh, you mean someone sat on your glasses?
I mean, the same guy comes into
no,
the
that's
sleep.
A, that's a good case. That's a different case. That's a different case.
How's
he has a chayev to look where he's sitting. If he's sitting in a place where he should know that you have a likelihood of having put something there and he breaks it, then he's chayev. If he sits someplace where it's not expected your glasses to be, and he breaks them, then he's going to be potter. That's a slightly different
so case.
Cases here that you put your stuff was out. Your stuff was out on your night table, and I lay down in your bed, and I knew it was there, and then I break it while I'm sleeping. I'm chayef for that.
So it's saying a case of two people, no?
Yeah, two people. You came and lie down next to me, and then I give you a black eye while I'm sleeping.
You're
I'm potter because you came later.
Right.
But if you were there when I laid down already, and I knew that you were there.
Right.
Then I'm going to be chayef for that. Because I should have known that you were there. I mean, there's a lot of halach lamaisa that comes from this. I mean, again, you shouldn't think that this is so obscure. The stuff is all very practical. Let's say a guy sits down in the base medrash and sits down on someone else's glasses. Right? So it depends. Does halacha tell me that a chair in a base medrash is a place that people likely put things down? Or not? Do I have to check? Or not? It's not exactly the case that we're dealing with now, but it's the case that you raised. That's a very practical question. And the answer could be it depends. It could be it depends on the particular setting that you're talking about. In a base medrash, it might be common. You know? In someplace else, it might not be common. I don't have to suspect that a guy maybe in the dining room puts his glasses down on a chair. In the base medrash, guys are learning. Maybe that's normal to do. Again, I'm not saying yes or no. I'm just saying that's what's going to determine whether or not you're chayef for having done that. Right? Yes, I'm sorry.
So onus gomer would be where you have absolutely no control over what your body can do.
Right. In any case, we assume that you have no control of your body when you're sleeping. But
regular onus would be where someone's holding your hand, forcing you to do it, but you could resist.
No, I think that would still be onus. Well, you could resist?
I'm saying you are resisting. You have the ability to resist.
I mean, you just let a guy push your hand? And you
no, I'm saying, you know, he's pushing me there and I'm back. But he's stronger than you. But that would still be honest gomer.
That's still honest gomer. Non-honest gomer means that somehow, on some level, there's a level of culpability. I can't ascribe a level of culpability to you where it's totally beyond your control. Mm-hmm. You could have checked and moved all the property before you went to sleep, or it could have moved over. You didn't do that. Now you broke it while you were sleeping. It's honest. Yeah, but who told you to go to sleep there? Right? But if the thing comes once you're sleeping, you can't make me excited for that. How do I know you're going to put your glasses there? What else do you want from me? What else could I have done? Nothing else I could have done. Yeah?
I was wondering the distinction between that.
That's a good question. Okay, so let's continue with Tosfos. Next. V'chein, another exception. So we have the case of the sleeping boxer, and now we have another case.
V'chein v'hagozel bat pasta gavehinir lahen Avihem para she'ula kesavurim shel avihem utavakuha v'achaluha.
Right, v'tavchuha v'achaluha. So what happened?
Meshavim demei basar bezor.
Stop. What was the case?
The borrowed cow.
A fellow dies, and now his children come to clean out his house, and they find all kinds of things. They take it as part of the Yerusha. And they go out in the back. They see that he has a cow tied up in the back. So what do they assume? They assume it's his cow. It's a father's cow. And now it's their cow. So how do they divide it up? They slaughter the cow. And they use it as food. What happens to be the case? Happens to be that it's not really his cow. It was a borrowed cow. He borrowed the cow to use to pull his plow, whatever the case is. Not his cow. For milk. Not his cow. So what's the halacha? So what's the Gemara over there saying? Kufiyud Beis. Are they chayiv for nizikin? Are they chayiv for? Do we assess them as we would a mazik? No, we do not. Instead, they have to pay for what? They have to pay for the meat. By the way, maybe we'll take this up separately. Why do they have to pay for the meat?
Well, if they ate it.
Yeah. It's on Pata. I had no way of knowing that it was yours.
What if it was a milk cow? If it's a milk cow, then it's not worth its meat. It's worth its life. It's worth
okay, good. So that we don't do that. We don't assess. We don't assess you for the hezek that you damaged. We just assess you for the meat that you ate, that you were nene from. What's that rule? Anyone know? All separate rule. A rule called zenene v'zechaser. Zenene v'zechaser. In other words, if I got hanah from your object and as a result you suffered a loss, I have to compensate you for that. Can't be that I'm going to cause you a loss and I'm going to be nene and not compensate you. Zenene v'zechaser. I just left it? Good question.
But you only have to
like in that case could very well be the Inachayev.
Because even if you crossed the law.
Let's say it wasn't a cow. Let's say it was something else. Let's say it wasn't a cow, let's say it was a piece of furniture. And you thought it was your father's. And now you're cleaning out the house, you say, oh, no one wants this, and you throw it out. Right? So you weren't nene from it. You had no reason to know that it was his. You caused him a hazik, but it's not zenen of zechaser. It's simply you just Zenen of Zelo Chaser. It's Zechaser of Zelo Nene.
But you can argue that the fact that you can get rid of it.
No, that's not really. You mean that you could treat it as your own as a Hana?
No,
I don't think that's a Hana.
The fact you don't have to deal with it. Why would that not be a Hana? People pay not to be bothered by things.
I mean, they call 1-800 junk, whatever, and it gets taken away.
That's a Hana.
I don't know if that's really an appreciable Hana. How are you going to determine how much Hana I got? How much would I pay to someone else to take it away, you mean? Right. I was saying, I don't think that's the kind of Hana that we're talking about when we talk about, usually in the case of Hana, of Zenen, of Zechaser, we're talking about a property that you hold out as a rental property, and I come in and I squat on your property, and now you lost income because I used your property. That's a Hana that I got from living on your property. It's not for Nezikin. That's the point. The point I'm trying to make is over here. The reason why you chayev to pay for the cow is not because of the Nezik. You're not chayev any type of Nezik for this. Why? Because this is Onus Gomor, according to Tosos. This is Onus Gomor. You had no way of knowing that this
so
wasn't...
So you're only paying for the part that you would...
Exactly. You're only paying because you happen to be nene from it. It's a tangential reason why you chayev. The Gemara considers this Onus Gomor.
So his point is there's another case where you are...
Yeah, exactly. Another exception. You caused the hezek to his items, to his belongings. You should say other mu'ul olam. No, why not? Honest gum.
Even in this case, you know, you're still paying some tax.
But not because of hezek. That's what I'm trying to say. You're only paying because you were nana from the cow. That's why in the case where you didn't get any hana, I'm confident you would not pay anything. Yeah, Zach. Let's continue. So another exception. You get the idea. But let's go through because there's a couple of more points here that are important. Next. No, they're not paying for Hezek. They're not paying because they caused a loss of his property. They're not paying for damages. They're only paying because they happen to be nana. Can't be that you'll be nana from someone else's property and not be nana. Maybe when we get to the end of this Tosos, we'll just tangentially take up that issue. It's a, like I said, totally separate Shas Sugya, but it's maybe interesting aside. Why is it? So if I'm not chai for Hezek, why should I pay anything? Oh, because Zenana v'zechaser. Can't be. Can't be the Yenana from someone else. Why? How does that function? Separate question. Vaita. Another case where we find an exception to the Adam Hamazik rule, to the Adam Mu'ud La'olam rule. What's the case? What's the case?
Walking along.
You have someone carrying his own pitcher. His chavis.
And the second one is carrying a beam.
Carrying beams. Well, you could picture a guy walking with beams on his shoulder, walking on, they're protruding out. Right? Maybe behind him he even has a red rag hanging, so, you know, it says caution. But he's walking straight ahead. And the barrel is in front. And what would happen? Luck would have it. The Baal HaChavis stops. The Nishbara HaChavis Bekorah. And what happens? The Korah pierces the Chavis. Guy stops short. Bam. What's going to happen? He's going to smash the barrel. The barrel gets smashed. What's the rule? So, in that case, the Mishnah says, what? He's potter. Why? Because the guy in front stopped short unexpectedly. If all of a sudden the guy's walking with his barrel and he just stops and you have no reason to suspect that he's going to stop, again, obviously it could depend upon other circumstances. You know, maybe I should have known that he's going to stop. But if I had no reason to know he's going to stop, we'll call it abruptly stopping or short stopping without any reason, then who's chayev? The guy behind is chayev. I'm sorry, the guy behind is... Right. If he stops short and I smashed it without reason to know, I'm potter. What about the rule of the mu'la olam? No, this is what? Honest gomor. How do you expect me to keep from breaking the guy's property when he just does something wild like that? Just out of the blue, he stops short. Well, you can't respond. You can't make me responsible for that. What's that?
What's it mentioning like on honest gomor in the Tosfos?
He mentions that he used that lashon.
No, he's saying this.
Onas gomer lo rabbi rachmana. That's about six lines down. And now he's saying all these examples are onas gomer cases.
Onas gomer.
Right, and that's why you fought there. Right? Okay. Let's keep going. Another case. Okay, this is important. This is important because Tosos now starts using language that we might not be familiar with. So now that we distinguish between onus gomor and onus, other types of onus, right? Now there's onus that's not onus gomor. So now Tosos introduces the following terms. He has what he calls onus or onus ke'ein geneva and onus ke'ein aveda. Onus ke'ein geneva and onus ke'ein aveda. What do those terms mean? So let's just go back to the world of shomrim. When you're talking about a shomer, we distinguish between shomer chinam and shomer sachar. Right? What's a shomer chinam chayef for?
When did you go through this?
We didn't.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying this is just Bob Mitzia. I don't know. Eighth grade. Whatever guys want Bob Mitzia.
Yeah. Definitely didn't.
We didn't discuss this. If I ask you as a favor to watch my stuff, I'm not machayev you for types of losses that are going to result, except for those that are a function of your pshia. If you were negligent with my property and you caused me that loss, then I'm going to cause you to pay. I'm going to machayev you to pay. But if it got lost or it got stolen, that shomer chinam is not chayev for it. A shomer sachar, someone who is being paid to watch my property, so not only is he chayev for pshia, it's chayev for geneva and aveda as well. Why? Because the assumption is that being that he's getting paid, he's being compensated, then he's going to exercise a higher standard of care. And that higher standard of care is required. Higher standard of care is going to obligate him to watch my object and guard it against theft and against being lost. But now, that you got that distinction?
Yeah, he's behind to the highest degree. I mean, it's possible for one of your objects to be stolen, or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you're being... Whatever the standard is, you have to lock it up, you have to do certain things. If it's beyond your control as a shomer, then you'll be potter. Okay. Right? So now, Tulsus talks about onus ke'ein gneva and onus ke'ein aveda. What's onus ke'ein aveda? Which one is more easily avoided? Theft or loss?
Loss.
Right? You can more easily guard against losing something than you can against being having something stolen. Which one would you say you're more culpable for? Which one has a greater degree of culpability? just dropping something because you're not being careful, or putting something away and then having it stolen. You didn't lose it. You put it away. You did what you had to do, but someone came and took it. Which one are you? Which one is indicative of less or of more? Yeah. Exactly.
Aveda.
Aveda. No.
In the case where it's lost.
I'm just giving a hypothetical. There's one or two. You lost it. You're my shomer. You're my shomer, and then you lost something. One guy comes to me and says, "Well, let me put it in this way. Let's put it in very basic terms. I give out two things to watch. One guy says, listen, I'm really sorry. Your shovel, it was stolen. The other guy says, listen, your pail, I don't know what to tell you. I lost it. Who am I more upset at?
Okay,
the guy that lost it. Why? Because what do you mean you lost it? You lost it. You should have been more careful not to lose it. You stole it? How? I can't be upset at you.
Yeah, you see, down, okay.
That's a separate. All right, that's a separate question. I'm not talking about where you were. You did something negligent. I'm not talking about you. Like you. Right. Everything else being equal, the guy who lost it is more negligent than the guy who had something stolen. So that's what Tosfos talks about when he talks about Onas Kein Geneva and Onas Kein Geneva. Who is the one that is responsible, and who is the one that is not responsible? When I speak about Adam Muad Ba'olam and Adam Hamazek. So which type of onus am I responsible for when the Mishnah says even b'shogeg? That's ones ke'ein aveda. Ones ke'ein aveda, where it's true, it was accidental, but accidental to the point that there was some negligence. It was close to negligence. Close to negligence. As opposed to a case where it was accidental, but close to wholly unavoidable. Right? Right, so one of them is closer on the spectrum, closer to pshia than the other. All right. Now let's just go 5 more minutes. All right. Can we do that? Well, you know what, Dr. Jane, in the interest of time, I'm just going to skip ahead a little bit. In 1 second. Let's skip down to the second wide line in the Tosos. Second wide line.
Is dealing with cases of not this,
exactly.
Here it's listing all the cases on
this. Tosos is saying, you see all these exceptions? These are because these are Ones Gomor. Or, even in a case what we'll call Ones Ke'ein Geneva, you'll be potter from. But Ones Ke'ein Aveda, you're going to be chayv. Second line in the wide lines. Shehi karova lepshia yoser. It's more, right, on the spectrum, it's closer to pshia. It's closer to pshia than what? Than ones kein geneva is. Kedemrinim b'hashoel, the geneva krova leones, that geneva is, okay, maybe I did something, maybe I was somewhat negligent, I didn't lock it up in the best way possible. But it's not. It's more. It's closer to onus than it is to pshia, right? If you can put it on a continuum, it's closer to onus than it is to pshia. The aveda, and aveda for a shomer is closer to pshia. Therefore, nirad the adam hamazik chayiv. The efshar lomar shelo yischayiv el b'pshia. It can't be that he's only chayiv in pshia adam hamazik. Meaning he's also going to be chayev in some forms of onus. Some types of accidental damages are also going to be his responsibility. Which kinds? Those kinds that are close to pshia. Right? Ke'ein aveda. What do you mean you lost it? V'chein mash mele'el. The mechayev ben nofel min agag beruach she'ena metzuyim. Guy falls down in a severe wind and causes some type of damage. Well, 1 second. Normally, we'd say Ruach Sheinu Metzuya is Potter Mefata B'Shomer Chinam Kedemina B'Sof Arba V'Chamisha Garbe Arba Nechnasu Tachas Habaylam V'Chayavin L'Shalom D'Mei Shar L'Baylam Chutz Mishomer Chinam. That's not true in the case of Shomer Chinam, meaning we don't Mechayav Shomer Chinam, who maybe falls on something and damages it in a case of Ruach Sheinu Metzuya. Ruach Sheinu Metzuya is an unusual wind. Mukila Kigon D'Netira Shmira Pachusa D'Shomer Chinam Kosel Shmirasa. V'hanach lo kalsa shmirasan. U'maisi midi Rabbi Yehuda. D'muad sagilei b'shmira pechusa. D'haino dela shichol lama b'ruach mutsuya. What type of shmir do you have to do? There's different levels of shmir that one could do, and it depends on the shmir that you did, whether or not you're considered to have done what you're supposed to do. V'ein yichol lama b'shein mutsuya. Alma afal gav d'mafata shomer chinam. It's true, a shomer chinam would be pater. But over here, when we come to Adam Hamazik, we don't look to Shomer Chinam. We don't look to Shomer Chinam as the model. You have to look instead. Mechayev Adam Hamazik. V'hainu tamim mishum dahavi ke'ein aveda. It's like that Shomer Sachar who's chayev for aveda. V'niskal havi ke'ein geneva. But niskal, stumbling on something, what's it closer to? What's it more akin to? If I stumble on something that's in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, is it similar to Aveda, or is it similar to Geneva?
I stumble on
a guy's vase. He's saying that's almost like is unavoidable. It's more similar to Geneva than it is to Aveda.
I think it depends on the situation. I don't know if you can say it's unavoidable.
That
in the case that we have over here, a fela,
or the case where it was all
fela,
right, or the case that was stopping up the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. I'm sorry. Upotu be Adam Hamazik. Chin muchach perikagol zaleitzim. Gabi tavach uman shakilkel. There's a case where you hire a butcher and he messes up your meat. He shechts it. Now he messed up the shechita and the animal's no good. What's that? Yeah. The parach leman de potter by shomachinam. He brights the ketani nasan beimol tavach v'navlan. He made into nevela. Chayev neishahu kin no say sachar. Okay, if it's a case where the person is being compensated, now he's like a shomer sachar. Now he's chayav for those things. Alma salka daitoch demaksha. But what about the person who's asking the question? Afilu bechinam chayav kimo shomer sachar shechayav al haveda umeshani ema mipnei shehu no say sachar. Yeah, you're chayav in a case where the guy is being compensated. Lafikach besachar chayav, but bechinam. But if it's not like that, he's potter the havikein geneva. No, you can't avoid that. You messed it up. You're doing it b'china. Guy asked, do me a favor. Can you shech the animal for me? We're saying that whatever happened, it's ke'ein geneva, not ke'ein aveda. Without getting into all the details of that case, which need to be discussed as well, what we have here are a number of cases that Tosfos cites throughout Bava Kama and one in Bava Metzia, where you have a person who's causing damage by accident, and yet he's potter. What do you mean, and yet he's potter? Because our Mishnah says you're chayav for accidental damages because all the mu'ud olam. So Tosos posit a rule. And the rule is, yes, all the mu'ud olam, but that's only by ones that is not ones gomor. We'll call that ones ke'ein aveda. For ones ke'ein aveda, you're still all the mu'ud olam. But if you're all the hamazik, and you're mazik in those cases that are ke'ein geneva, meaning wholly unavoidable, then you are indeed potter. No, that's the thing. By stocher it changes the. Because by bechinam we'll call that ke'ein aveda, but by stocher you should have exercised greater care. We'll call that ke'ein aveda. Once you're being paid, given that as a shomer stocher you're chayav for both geneva and aveda.
Right.
There's still different levels of culpability. You're chayiv as a shomer sachar because you're being paid. But there are different levels of oversight. Let's put it that way. There are different levels of oversight. So when we look to Adam Hamazik, we're only mechayiv you for the oversight that's ke'ein aveda, not for the oversight that's ke'ein geneva.
For
Adam Hamazik, that's right. Okay?
Well, for breaking the thing, you'd be fine. I mean, for losing it or for...
If you damaged in a way that's similar to losing, that you're still going to be chayav for.
Right, but not right. Okay.
Okay? All right, Blinda, we'll go over this again tomorrow, but we'll be online hopefully later today or tomorrow. Take a look at the Ramban. You'll see that the Ramban learns differently. The Ramban is, miyashiv these mishnayos differently, and comes up with a different rule. So Tosos' rule is, yes, Adam Mu'ad Olam, Adam Amazik is always chayav, except if it's on his gomor. Ramban has a different way of distinguishing when other mu'ud la'olam and when not. Clearly arguing on one another. We'll try to explain there to Svaros. and there's a Mimluka Yosef, which fits in somewhere between the two. We'll try to address that as well. Okay, so we'll pick up with this tomorrow.
No problem.
Okay, Zach, good to see you. Welcome back.